first witness is Miss Viola Fletcher, also known, if I can, Mother Fletcher. Thank you. I don't have a mother, so thank you. Mother Fletcher is the oldest living survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre. She was 7 years old when she lived through the massacre. Mother Fletcher, you are now recognized to testify. Is the microphone on?
Yes. My name is My name is Viola Ford Fletcher. I'm the daughter of Lucinda Ellis and John Wesley Ford of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm the sister of Hughes Van Ellis, who is also here today. I'm a survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre. 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 107th birthday. Today, I'm visiting Washington, D.C. for the first time in my life. I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to accept. Heritage and my family had a beautiful home. We had great neighbors and I had friends to play with. I felt safe. I had everything a child could need. I had a bright future ahead of me. Greenwood should have given me the chance to truly make it in this country. Within a few hours, all of that was gone. The night of the massacre, I was awakened by my family. My parents and 5 siblings were there. I was told we had to leave, and that was it. I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see black men being shot, black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see black businesses being burned. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear the screams. I have lived through the massacre every day. Our country may forget this history, but I cannot. I will not. And other survivors do not. And our descendants do not. When my family was forced to leave Tulsa, I lost my chance of an education. I never finished school past the 4th grade. I have never made much money in my country. State and city took a lot from me. Despite this, I spent time supporting the war effort in the shipyards of California. But most of my life, I was a domestic worker serving white families. I never made much money, but to this day, I can barely afford my everyday needs. All the while, the city of this Tulsa have unjustly used the names and stories of victims like me to enrich myself and its white allies through the 30 million, through the 30 million raised by the Tulsa Centennial Commissioner.
All right, producer, pause it. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shalom, viewers. Welcome to the Power Hour, Sabbath edition, the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show on Biblical Topics. I am your host, Captain Aparium.
Officer Solomon, shalom. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, everyone, to our first-time viewers. If this is your first time watching, welcome. All right. For you day ones, welcome. So I started off with this video because a few days ago marked the 100th anniversary. I don't want that yet. Marked the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre, the Tulsa bombing. What is known as Black Wall Street. And we see our sister here, who's lived over a century after that atrocity after that massacre at the hands of Esau, which is the biblical name for the Caucasian man and woman. And she's recounting what she saw and what she experienced there. And as I watched this, as I was gathering my, doing my research and gathering my information for today's show, obviously it a lot of things go in your mind when you, especially when you, when you're in the spirit, when you know this truth, you look at things from a spiritual perspective. And it obviously struck a nerve. It angered me. And then listening to what our sister, senior sister, right, listening to her words, okay, and it just makes this Bible more and more true, more and more real when I hear things like this and so many other things that we have been seeing and seeing prophecy unfold right before our eyes. So I'm going to continue with the video because she mentioned some interesting stuff, but I want to start off with Zephaniah 2:1. All right. And as I was coming in to do the radio show today, I'm thinking to myself, I will do. And I said, no, I don't ever in church. Maybe the majority of you listening never heard it either. Never heard your pastor, your priest, reverend, those who are supposedly tasked with giving us the word of God, right? With giving us the truth, with showing us, right? Because that's their whole thing, right? Give tithes and you'll get salvation, right? But according to the Bible, it gives us the blueprint on what and for who salvation is for. Yet they won't go to this scripture here that we're about to go over. Go ahead.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together.
Stop right there. So right off the bat, if you're just reading any book, and that's the first sentence, gather yourselves together. So it's preparing you for something, right? It's preparing you for an action. Gather yourself together. Keep that in your mind. Go ahead.
Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
Stop. So the first part says gather yourselves together. So again, like I mentioned, it's an action. So the Most High in the Bible, when he speaks through the prophets, he'll say the same thing different ways. And he'll start a lot of verses or chapters with something that's going to catch your attention. So right off the bat, when you read that, gather yourself together. So it's like, hey, wait a minute. Okay. Gather myself together. Why? So that brings you in.
Right.
All right. Scripture says that the Most High is not the author of confusion, right? He uses the word author, does it not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you're an author of any book, you're putting your spirit, your thoughts, your mind, your creativity into that book to get the message across to the reader. This is the mastermind of the Most High God that we serve, who unfortunately 2/3 of our people have no fear of. And as I went over on recent shows and there's other YouTube videos that I went over regarding this, most people don't believe in God anymore. A good majority, predominantly millennials, I think it was for like 43% of millennials and like 23% of Generation X. I could be off on the numbers, but you get the idea. So the Most High is the author. The Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So everything here is what it is. It's perfect. Read it from the top again.
Gather yourselves together.
Gather yourselves together. Okay? Gather your who? Right? If you just opened up the Bible and just started from that verse right there, okay, it's going to catch your interest. Gather yourselves together. Okay, who and why? Right? From what I was told, the Old Testament is just dealing with who the Bible calls Amalek, who we know as the so-called Jews, okay, that are in our land in Jerusalem that the Most High God gave to us. All right, so you say to yourself, okay, talking about them? Well, let's see. Why does he want them people to be gathered together? Go ahead.
Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
Now, we know that right there alone that that's not true. A lot of other nations despise them because they know that they're imposters, and the Bible talks about how they're imposters. Okay? The scripture says that Judah is black unto the ground, so that's one of the many proofs that they are not the true Jews. Okay. So you got to ask yourself, okay, it says, O nation not desired. Okay, so from that perspective, you may say, hey, okay, maybe then, but do they not own everything in this world that we live in? They're very prosperous. Trust me, they are. If they're a nation not desired, why is America always, Ishmael, they call that little Satan. They call America big Satan, and they call them little Satan. All right. Why? Because they have power right now. Okay? And America backs them up. Go ahead.
Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you.
Okay? So, who's it talking about there? It's talking about the Israelites. But who are the Israelites? Well, according to the scriptures, according to Deuteronomy 28, Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, Lamentations. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The true Jews, the true Israelites, are the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. So now read 2 and 1 again. I only want one.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together.
Gather yourselves together, because us as a people, we are not unified. See, we recognize here in Israel United in Christ that the Most High is all about unity. All right, so that's what we preach, and that's what we practice here in IUIC. All right, we got to gather ourselves together, which is what we're doing with this radio show, with all the other radio shows. When we're out the four corners of the earth teaching the word of the Most High God, we're gathering our people together. Go ahead.
Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
What we just experienced here from the video from our sister, 107 years old, she was there, counts of what took place on that day in 1921. Because again, like I said, it marks the 100th anniversary this year, right? 2021. She was 7 years old and she's 107. The Most High allowed her to live. Give me Proverbs 20:20. I got to bring it out. I got to always bring this out because we got to ask yourself, why is this coming out now, right? Why? Why are so many things happening on the earth now? Why do we continue to say we're in the last days again? We're not saying it's tomorrow, 10 years, 5 years. We don't know, right? According to Matthew 24:36, Christ said only the Father knows when he's going to return and when we're going to be put back in our rightful place of rulership. All right? But we do know that the scripture says to watch the signs, right? And we're at a point now where this truth is on turbo right now, okay? We're pushing the 11th hour because the scripture says that we are in the 11th hour based on what? On facts, on proof. Seeing our northern kingdom brothers and sisters waking up big time. We're seeing things that are being brought out now on the media. That if you're learned in this Bible, you're like, wow. So why is this sister talking out? Why did he allow her to live to 107 years old to give her testimony of what happened on that fateful or awful day? Go ahead.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord.
Man and woman's goings are of the Lord. Sister up there was told on that day, he already knew that on this, that day that she gave her testimony in front of Congress, okay, or the Senate, whatever that was, I think it was Congress, that it was going to be now at this time as the as the days started getting closer and closer to the end, as all the southern and the northern kingdom were coming together in droves at a hyper speed, okay, to be unified under Ezekiel 37 as one stick.
Gathering together.
Gathering together. Go ahead.
Man's goings are of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
How can a man then understand his own way?
All right. Now, as the we're going to continue playing the video, but as the video goes on, the sister says something at the end that's going to prove the bottom of that verse. Read the bottom of the verse again.
How can a man then understand his own way?
She obviously does not know the scriptures, at least not at the level that we know it, that we should know it. I'm pretty sure, I don't want to say for 100% of surety, but she don't know she's an Israelite. And she's a sister from the tribe, I'm presuming, of Judah, or at least one of the southern kings, I'm presuming. But she's an Israelite nonetheless, right? She doesn't know that. And in her heart of hearts, because she doesn't know that, she feels that by going in front of Congress and saying, giving her testimony, she's doing a great thing. And she is, but not for the reasons that she thinks. Okay, we're going to go over that here shortly, okay? I'm going to back up why I'm saying what I'm saying. So little did she know that 107 years later, or 100 years later, because after the atrocity when she was 7 years old, that she would be speaking, testifying on what she actually saw on that fateful, dreadful day, right? Give me a second. And little did she know that this will be correlated, her speech with the scriptures, with the Bible, and our people, her people. Little did she know. You got something? So read it again.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?
The Most High God got a plan, and he's going to use us the way he wants to use us, just like he's using me and Officer Solomon right now to bring this out. The other brothers that are going to bring this out. Okay? We're going to constantly bring out the fact that we need to gather ourselves together. Why? Because we are a nation not desired. Tulsa Massacre was an example of us being a nation not desired. I want to touch on something that she mentioned. She says she heard the planes flying over Tulsa. Do you understand that these planes had bombs? They were bombed from aircrafts. Never in history has that atrocity at that level ever happened, but on that fateful day. They care so much about this country, meaning Esau, bombed the land that they say they care about. But they don't care about it if we're on that piece of parcel of land. They bombed. They used military tactics to bomb our people on that day. The mere fact that bombs is even used and was used on our people on that day is war. Bombs are used in war. Bombs are used to destroy, annihilate an area and people that are in that area. And that's what she said. I'm yet to do more research on it, but I was told years ago that the song "You Dropped a Bomb on Me" by the Gap Band was referring to that in a what do they call that? Metaphoric way, I guess.
Right.
Let's see. I don't know, but bombs were dropped on our brothers and sisters on that fateful day in 1921, 107 years ago. Well, 100 years ago, I'm sorry. She's 107 years old. Give me Proverbs 5:24. All right, because, again, this is part of the reason why our people don't believe. The unrepentant brothers and sisters, they don't believe because they don't know these scriptures exist in the Bible. You always wonder, damn, why did I do this and I never do that? Well, the Most High God had a reason. Whether you ever find out or not, he had a reason. And sometimes, a lot of times you do find out. And you're like, wow, something happened there that I would have been there. Hence the Twin Towers, 9/11. I've mentioned this ad nauseum before. Okay? How many people that I know in those buildings that never late, or that day they decided not to go to work. That was what we just read in the Bible. Okay? People that were always on time, super early, would have got on there. Would have went in that building and been murdered. But the Most High God had other plans for them. Whatever it is, I don't know. Only the Most High God knows. Right?
Book of Proverbs, chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings.
Just saying the same thing we just read in Proverbs 20:24. Okay? Was it 20:24?
It was 20:24 and 5:21.
5:21, right. Yep. Right. Okay? Saying the same thing. The Most High God got this. He got this. It's his plan. It's his playing field. And he has the ultimate blueprint in the Bible for us as being part of his team. He's the coach, right? Let's use some sports analogy. He's the coach, right? And we're the team. But like you hear, those of us that play sports, there's no I in team, right? That's why scripture said in Zephaniah, gather yourselves together. We got to do this as a whole. One man ain't going to do it. We have to do this as a whole. Okay, Christ had disciples that kept spreading his word, his gospel, okay, which was that he came and will be coming again to free us from our enemies and to put us back in our rightful place of rulership. That's in a nutshell, okay? So let's play the video again. Not again, but from where you left off.
I am 107 years old and have never been seen justice. I pray that one day I will. I have been blessed with a long life and have seen the best and the worst of this country. I think about the...
Stop, pause for a second. Something just reminded me. She said that in spite of that massacre, that her country is the word that she uses, because this ain't our country. I mean, 2 Exodus 13, the Most High gave us Arzareth, which is the Western Hemisphere. He gave that to us, predominantly the Northern Kingdom. And that was our inheritance that he gave to us until Esau, the oppressor, came and took it from us. You know history. Okay, you know how that went down. So she uses our country, but when she's using our my country, she's not using it from the context of the Bible of Arzareth. She's using it from the context, oh, I'm an American and I'm proud and all of this, because I'm going to prove it. She said that in spite of all of that, she still supported the war efforts. Basically what she did, unknowing, it's not, no knock on the sister, because a lot of us did that, right? I did that before this troop too, right? If you served in the military, you did it. I was gung-ho. I was in the Marine Corps. I was gung-ho. I fought in combat, so I know. Okay, and I was all about, yeah, you know, ooh-rah, ooh-rah, and all that good stuff, right? So she is coming at it from a worldly perspective, okay? And she said also just now that she hopes that there can be justice. Well, let's see. According to the scriptures, give me Lamentations 4 and 17. And this is a lot of our people, right? This is our people that join politics, our people that are on protests, right? If they're not using the Bible and following what the Bible says, that's not the Most High God's plan. That's why, as of right now, they're not on, like we like to say when we're out in camp, on our side of the camp signs.
Right.
That's why they're not sitting in our congregations right now doing the work to build our nation, because the Most High hasn't touched them yet. And maybe he never will. But all they know is that I'm going to go to the same people that bombed me and my family and my brothers and sisters to ask for help. The scripture says in Habakkuk, their spirit is not upright. The Most High made them that way. You are seeking help from a nation, from a nation of people who the Bible calls Edomites. That is never, ever, I could say that with a surety. They may throw you some crumbs, and you may think. Like, for example, at the beginning, he says, can I call you Mother Fletcher? That's that word smoother than buttercrap.
Right.
You don't give two doggones. And not only that, why is she testifying in front of all Edomites? The same oppressors. She's telling the same oppressors what they already know and knew went down, because their forefathers were involved in that.
Their ancestors weren't involved in that bombing. They're not blameless either. That's why Isaiah 14:21 says, prepare thy children for slaughter. They're going to get theirs too, according to the Bible.
Right.
Most eyes are mastermind. So she's going to the same people to ask. But again, we just read Proverbs 20:24, right? The Most High is doing that for our sake, so we can use these type of things as remembrance. Remember, the scripture says in 1 Kings 8 and 46, if I'm not mistaken, right? Bethink yourself. You can't remember who you are unless you're given facts on who you are. And this is what we bring out on this show and in all the classes in IUIC and all the other IUIC radio shows. So read that.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 17. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help.
This is what we're witnessing right now with our sister. Her eyes have failed. After 100 years, they're allowing her to speak. Are you kidding me? After 100 years, and I'm not saying that she was probably fighting for justice her whole life, but now it's being made public. How come they always bring up every year the Holocaust? They even have that stupid commercial where, and it's so crafty, they show for years they've been showing the same Edomite Amalek on these commercials. I'm like, by now they got to be dead. And it's the same ones from years ago asking for help for donations as victims of the Holocaust. Same people. They just keep rewinding that tape and people keep saying, obviously it works, right, because they keep doing it. Commercials ain't cheap, and people keep sending them donations. They're falling for that nonsense. Some of y'all saw Schindler's List, and at the end, y'all were like, I remember Before the Truth, I was like, damn, you know, that's kind of messed up, man, you know? And you feel some type of way, right? But then I'm like, shouldn't have been there in the first place. You shouldn't have tried to hijack our heritage.
Right.
Okay? But there's a lot involved in that. A lot involved in what went down with World War II and Hitler. Anyway, read that again.
As for us, our eyes has as yet failed for our vain help.
Our eyes have failed. Many movements have come and gone. And it's only this, and I hate to call it movement because movements were not successful, but it's just different. This is the Most High's movement. And that's why those other ones failed. We brought it out at length on a radio show. All right? They missed one key element. They had to gather yourselves together, but they missed one key element, which was knowing their true nationality, gather themselves together as Israelites, not as everyone, or as blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. No. That's why I said I brought up 1 Kings 8:46. You got to bethink yourself. Remember who you really are. This movement by the Most High God now, because we are doing it according to his will, according to his plan, using his playbook, which is the Bible, which is why this is flourishing. And nobody's going to be able to stop it because that's prophecy. No one. Some of y'all may be weak and faint and say, oh, I don't know, man. I've been in this a while and nothing. No, I see progress.
Right.
If you're in the spirit, even if you've been this only a couple of years, you should see that there's progress. Our nation is growing. We're coming back to the understanding of who we are. And it's all spiritual. We're doing it just through the foolishness of preaching, like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21. We didn't have to do anything physical, and we won't do anything physical because the Bible does not allow us to do anything physical. We're commanded to be at peace with all people if it be possible, according to Romans 12:18. Did I quote that right, 12:18? I think I did.
Maybe.
All right. But it's definitely Romans 12. I think it's 18. Got a lot of thoughts going on in my mind. Right? So we have to understand what's going on here. Finish reading that? Soften the topic.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching.
In our watching, waiting to see who's going to help us, predominantly waiting to see if Esau, America, is going to help us. That's what that's really talking about, like this sister right here. Are they going to help us? Are they going to have a heart and feel sorry for us and what they did? No, they are not. Because if you understand the Bible, you understand the Bible talks about regeneration. These are the same spirits coming back again, just like we've come back again. Go ahead.
In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
We have watched for a nation that could not save us. Meaning what? We are still watching and waiting. Not us. Not us learned men and women. Not the true Jews, not the true Israelites. We're not waiting for anything. We're waiting for the black Messiah to come. We're waiting for the Most High God to say, it's time. It's showtime. Right? We're waiting to hear, let's get ready to rumble. Right? That's what we're waiting for. And Lord willing, we get to see that. Meaning us older brothers and sisters. Okay? So it says we're waiting for, all right? Read 18.
They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets.
What did the sister just say happened in Tulsa? If you know the history, we had a flourishing. I'm going to show you another video that's going to prove that. Flourishing industry, flourishing economics. We had a system. We had unity in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Infrastructure.
We had infrastructure. We had banks.
Yeah, economic.
When you have banks, that means you in control of money. When you in control of money, some of y'all heard me say this before. What's the golden rule? He that owns the gold makes the rules. And they understood that because when Gaddafi tried to do the same thing, stop being dependent on the fiat, the dollar, they whacked him.
Right.
They killed him, and because he was trying to do for his people. They want you dependent on them because they understand what I just said. He who owns the gold makes the rules. That's the golden rule. And we had that. And they understood that from there it was going to go to another city and another city and another state and another state. And they couldn't have that. Now, again, we know the Most High had his hands in that because it wasn't time right now. Because we know they weren't doing it in righteousness.
Yes, sir.
They understood the unity part, but they weren't doing it in righteousness. Right? Go ahead.
Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. For our end is come.
For our end is come. Read 19.
Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven.
And what's the symbol of America? The eagle. Every nation, Spain, France, Germany, Rome, the eagle. They were our persecutors and are our persecutors. Go ahead.
They pursued us upon the mountains.
They pursued us upon the mountains with planes in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's deep. Talking about the airplanes that she sees.
I can't get past that.
Yeah. And the Bible repeatedly talks about that, how he exalts himself as the eagle.
As the eagle.
How he ascended into the heavens.
Right.
And then pushed even further.
In 1903, the Wright brothers.
In Obadiah, he sets his dwellings
his
above
nest
the clouds.
On high. That's right, above the clouds.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's going into the airplanes.
Exactly. Exactly. Metaphorically speaking.
Go ahead.
They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness.
All right.
So that's all I want on that. So let's go back to the video. Let's finish off with the sister. It's almost over, that video.
Horrible inflation.
Go back a few seconds.
Black people in this
okay, that's good.
Justice. I pray that one day I will.
One day she prayed. Stop. She's been praying for 100 years. And our conditions have gotten worse to the point where we're killing each other. We weren't doing that back in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were unified. You can't build a Black Wall Street. You can't build a successful, right, profitable, wealthy city like that, having the mentality of Chicago, New York, and killing and L.A. Just read some stuff about L.A. that just went down, killing each other. Can't do that like that. No. That takes unification. Go ahead. That takes love for your brother and sister. Go ahead.
Life and have seen the best and the worst of this country. I think about the terror, horror inflicted upon black people in this country every day. this subcontinent MIDI has the power to lead us down a better path.
Stop.
I'm asking that.
She's asking the committee. Stop. Pay attention. She's asking the committee. Give me.
She's saying that they have the power.
Yes. I'm asking you, Massa.
Yeah.
To please give us reparation. Please help us out with that. Give me Lamentations 5 and 6. This is what we're witnessing right now.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 5 and verse 6. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread.
Egyptians and Assyrians were two captivities, two oppressors that were over us as a nation of Israel. And that's what we continue to do today. We turn to our oppressors for bread, for help, for love, for acceptance of their wrongs. This is what our nation as a whole does. See, but not our brothers and sisters here in IUIC. Right? Because we understand these scriptures. We were blessed to have leaders that they were blessed to be inspired in, by the word of the Most High God and teach us like we're doing with this radio show and all the other radio shows in IUIC and our teachings in the street and our fly missions and every effort that we have been blessed with to be able to put our hands on and perform by the Most High God because we're doing it in righteousness. You got something?
I was just looking at verse 9. I'm going to read it and then I'll break it down. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 9, it says, we get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Backing up a chapter, it was talking about how they laid wait for us in the wilderness. So now it's going into the fact that we have to take a risk, that we're taking a risk. The risk that we're taking is our salvation. We've gone away from these law, statutes, and commandments. We're getting the bread. The bread is the crumbs that Captain was going into. That these nations give us, they give us welfare, they gave us jobs, you know, and they took over this land that was given to us. It was, of course, according to Job 9:24, it was given to the hand of the wicked. So this is not our land. What's her name again? Remember?
Fletcher. Viola Fletcher.
Sister Viola Fletcher. You know, she has a lot of experience, but she doesn't have the understanding, and she's still talking in terms of, you know, seeking vain help from a nation that can't save us.
Now, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I guarantee you she has sat in church for 100 years. Yeah. Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
For 107 years, because you know that her parents took her to church when she was born.
Right.
For 107 years, she has been in the whorehouses that we call churches. And you telling me that she wasn't told what the answer is, what the solutions are? You know how I could prove that she wasn't told? Because she wouldn't be sitting in front of the oppressor
right.
and asking them for help. Right. Again, I'm not listen, that's our sister. She's an older sister. You respect your elders. That's the way I was raised.
Right. And also there's a reason, you know, that this had to come out, you know, so that we could expound on it as well.
Right. But the point I'm making is, let's look at it from, right, because you got people, our brothers and sisters, that right now they're commending her, which, you know what, I commend her for going up there too.
Right.
But they're like, yeah, we need reparation. No, man, you need God.
Yes. Yep. We need to repent.
That's what you need, man. You need to recognize that you're the Israelites the Bible speaks of, that the Most High God is not the God of everybody. Heck, Judah 5 said that. He said their God.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible's throughout the whole Bible.
Throughout the whole Bible, it clearly says. That's why I don't understand, because even in the New Testament, it says.
The Lord God of Israel.
Right.
Over and over and over again. Like, good.
What do I say? The word Israel is mentioned 3,000, over 3,000, almost 4,000 times in the Bible.
Right.
3,847 times, or something like that. I think I'm pretty accurate. Right? So that got to tell you that this Bible's only for one nation and one nation only, just based on that alone. Our Bible's 1,000 pages. That means about 3.8 times per page the name Israel will be mentioned.
Right.
Based on that, the numbers. And the numbers are maybe off a few here or there, but it's definitely almost 4,000, 3,000.
Right. So in exchange for those crumbs, it said, we got our bread with the peril of our lives. The peril of the lives is what we're discussing right here.
That's right.
What she went through.
That's right.
What she witnessed.
That's right.
The bombing of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we always pay with our lives, and then later on they're trying to give us crumbs. You know?
Right. It's not even a full loaf. It says bread. It's not even a full loaf.
Right.
It's a slice.
Right. That's
right. And then they don't give you butter, so you got to eat the bread dry. If you want butter, you got to go ahead and sell your soul to do something else.
Right.
And then our people do get the butter with the bread because they've been eating dry bread their whole life. And this is metaphoric I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. All right. Now they think they've arrived and they think that their savior helped them. Because now they got bread and butter. Crazy, right?
Right.
Play the video.
The tremors and the pain, the loss, and I ask survivors and descendants to be given a chance to speak, seek justice, open the door. All of you know how easy it is to deny that.
He wish he wasn't there.
That a violent
could tell his face, look.
Your life and took your property. For 70 years, the city of Tulsa and its stream of chambers told us that the massacre didn't happen, like we didn't see it with our own eyes.
Stop. They hold themselves blameless, like the scripture says. You got that? Get that for me if you got it. They hold themselves blameless. He just said, for years, they acted like that massacre in Tulsa never happened. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know about that until I came into this troop. I didn't know about some of the Puerto Rican history until I came into this troop. Because we eat what they feed us. And unless you dig deep, all praises to the Most High God for putting the spirit on the inventor of the internet, which, if I'm not mistaken, was a Judah brother. Well, definitely an Israelite from what I understand. And, of course, like they did to us in slavery, we would invent stuff, and then they would take it as their own and patent it. Hence the traffic light, for name one of them.
Right.
Not just the peanut by George Washington Carver. Or
the cotton gin.
The cotton gin. I mean, it's plenty, man. Y'all can research it.
The flushable toilet.
Man, you name it, man. Yeah, because we're clean.
Yeah.
We're not nasty like, anyway. I get upset, man. I get upset. Go ahead. You got it?
I got Zephaniah 11 and 5.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start verse 4 for context.
Okay.
Zephaniah chapter 11, verse 4.
Why we go here again?
We went here because they hold themselves blameless.
They hold themselves blameless, right. Right, because he just said, again, just to refresh the memory. Like, I know we got short-term memory loss sometimes. She said
They wanted to put upon them, hey, you didn't see nothing to see here.
Right. Nothing to see here. Right. They denied that it ever happened.
Right, right. Zechariah 11 and 4. Thus saith the Lord, my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they say that sell them, say, blessed. I'm sorry, I need to start again. Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not.
Uh-huh. They're rich because as a result of them destroying Tulsa, Oklahoma, it says that they took all the stuff that was there. They created their own banks and everything. Yeah, of course, they've always been rich off of our backs.
Right.
Okay. Now, again, I always have to throw this in there. We're the reason why the Most High God allowed that, because we refuse to follow his laws, statutes, and commandments. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 says the beautiful things that will happen to us as a nation, you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites the Bible speaks of, that would happen to us if we just obeyed and hearkened to his word. And then Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 says if we don't, all these things are going to come to pass and happen.
Right.
So again, yes, they have done much evils, they meaning the Caucasians, who the Bible calls Esau. But we're accountable for this too. But this time around, Most High God says, no, we're going to get it right. Okay. Go back to the video. If we keep the law, statute, of the commandments, we're going to get it right. I got to always say that.
Have me here right now. You see Mother Randall. You see my brother, Hughes Van Ellis. We live this history, and we can't ignore it. It's our lives with us. Oh, my goodness. We lost everything that day, our homes, our churches, our newspapers, our theaters, our lives. Greenwood represented all the best of what was possible for black people in America and for all the people. No one cared about us for almost 100 years. We and our history have been forgotten, washed away. This Congress must recognize us and our history. For black America, for the white Americans, and for all Americans, with that some justice. Is that it? Thank you.
Okay, we could stop it right there. Producers, show the next pick. All right, because now Greenwood, which is the city in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was bombed and destroyed, that was Southern Kingdom. But now, let's look at what happened to our Northern Kingdom brothers and sisters. So what you see here is labeled as the largest mass shooting in U.S. history happened December 29, 1890. When 297 Sioux Indians at Wounded Knee Creek on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota were murdered by federal agents and members of the 7th Cavalry who had come to confiscate their firearms for their own, in quotations, for their own safety and protection. So you go ahead and you're taking firearms away from a group of people to protect yourself with the same and kill them with the same guns that you're trying to just see. This don't make sense.
Yeah, that's a hypocrisy. That's
yeah. The slaughter began after the majority of the Sioux had peacefully turned in their firearms. So that there itself proved that they were not, their war was in their heart. Give me that in Psalms 50. It proved that they had bad intentions from the get. This is double talk here. They went there to disarm the Indians for their safety, but then after they disarmed them, actually, they didn't even disarm them. The Sioux Indians gave it up peacefully. They killed them. You got it?
Psalm 55, maybe?
Yeah, 55.
Yeah, 55. Yeah, I got it. Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 55 and verse 21.
Let's go straight to the point.
The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords.
They were drawn swords. In this case, they drew their weapons, their pistols, their rifles, shotguns. They never come. They're not about peace. Remember, let's not forget their blessing in Genesis 27 is that they will be war. They will have the spirit of war.
Right. I mean, there's coaxing and smooth, you know, words smoother than butter, something that had to be said to disarm a man. To talk somebody in, I believe it was 97 men, because 200 were women and children, right? So 97 men talking 100 men out of giving up their firearms. Their words had to be smoother than butter.
They broke over 500 treaties. The Gadites. The indigenous. All right, let's get the next video. And as he's getting that, get the scripture.
Oh, that's verse 20.
Psalm 60.
The treaties. You want me to read that real
quick? Yeah, read that real quick. Hold on, don't play it yet.
The book of Psalms, chapter 55 and verse 20.
Remember, I said that they broke over 500 treaties with the indigenous, our brothers, the Gadites and Reubenites, Northern Kingdom.
He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him.
All right, we just read that, right? They peaceably gave up their firearms. Go ahead.
He hath broken his covenant.
His covenant is another word for treaties, promises. Treaty is a promise. And they've broken every single one of them. Not to mention that it says here in the article that they went to the reservations and did it. The same places that they put them on after they took over their land. They can't find, we can't, we're never going to find peace.
No, it's continuous. It's still going on today.
Yes, we're never going to find peace unless we repent and start following law, statutes, and command, because the only man that's going to save us is the Most High God when he sends his son, Jesus the Christ. Okay? So read, give me Psalm 64. Find it.
Yep.
Before I play this, I want y'all to
hear this scripture here.
The book of Psalms, chapter 64 and verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away.
All right, so basically the there in that verse is Esau, okay, the Caucasian man and woman. All right, they're going to let their own tongue fall upon themselves. They're going to tell on themselves. They're going to rat themselves out. All right?
So let's watch this video from this Edomite presenter. It's the TED Talk. Some of you are probably familiar with it. They have some really good topics on there. All right, so I came across this the other day, and I want you to hear it. And again, I ain't saying it up here because, oh, look, she's considering, because you're going to see, as you watch this video, that she actually adopted a Judah brother, okay, a Judah baby. All right? Trust me. Don't get all soft in the heart. I'm not weak in the knees for Esau. I'm not putting it up for that. I'm just putting it up there so you can see a different account from the actual oppressor. All right, because that bothers the hell out of me, man. Why do Esau always gotta go ahead and adopt our kids? I know why, but stop. That's your token. That's all that is. And you can say, look, I got a black kid. I got a Hispanic kid.
Right.
I don't buy that crap, man. You're full of it. Don't give me that crap. So don't get. I'm not putting this up there for you to go back to sleep and be like, oh, you see, there's good Edomites. No. Stop.
There's all kinds of evil involved again, involved in that, because at the very core, it's against the laws of God.
It's against the law of God. Because Deuteronomy 7 said we shouldn't be intermingling with anybody either.
Right.
All right. So, no, that's just them being them, okay, trying to make their own laws. All right. It's a statement they're making. Trust me. Go ahead. Play. We may skip through some of this because it's long. Fast forward. I don't need to see all that. Stop from the beginning.
About a year ago, I heard one of them. America has so many untold stories buried in history. About a year ago, I heard one of them from my friend Joe, who is a history teacher. And that story led me on a journey to the most rewarding and challenging project of my career. It transformed my life, and it changed my relationship with my son. It was a story of the worst incident of racial violence in this country, the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921. Picture this. It is May 31st, 1921. Tulsa is the oil capital of the world. Train tracks run smack down the middle of the city. On one side are gleaming new office buildings, hotels, and opera house, all built by newly rich oil men and developers, all white. On the other side of the tracks, just steps away, is Greenwood. Greenwood is an all-black district of about 11,000 people. It is incredibly entrepreneurial and affluent. There are hundreds of businesses here, a hospital, banks, a library, 2 newspapers, 20 churches. It is so successful that Booker T. Washington nicknames its business district Black Wall Street. In less than 24 hours, it will all be gone. Thousands of white Tulsans will burn it to the ground and murder at least 300 residents. When I heard this story, I was stunned. I minored in American history, and I am a journalist, and I had never heard of the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921. So I did what any journalist would do. I flew to Tulsa, and I asked questions of the keepers of this story. And then I spent 6 weeks day and night writing a podcast series about it. Metaphorically, I lived in 1921, getting to know the heroes and the villains. I fell in love with so many of the characters, like B.C. Franklin, an attorney who fought for civil rights, and Lula Williams, the woman who built a 750-seat movie theater, the Dreamland Theater, and Bernice Sims. On May 31st, 1921, she is about to get her dream come true. She has been waiting for months for the high school prom. And she is about to get her new, beautiful, blue satin evening dress on and a strand of pearls. And she is imagining dancing in the arms of her boyfriend. But Bernice Sims never makes it to the prom. Instead, she and her family flee Tulsa for their lives. Let me take you back a day and tell you what happened so that you can understand. It is May 30th, Memorial Day, middle of the afternoon. A 19-year-old man named Dick Rowland is in the downtown Tulsa office building, and he is about to step onto an elevator run by Sarah Page, who is white and 17. But he trips, and he steps on her foot. He touches her arm. She screams. And somewhere else in the building, a clerk hears her scream, and without seeing anything, he picks up the phone, and he calls the police, and he says, Dick Rowland just assaulted Sarah Page. The word assault in 1921 Tulsa means rape. Within a few hours, the headline on the white newspaper reads, Negro to be lynched in Tulsa tonight.
Pause. Their spirit ain't upright. They hate us. Okay? All this man, he tripped. Try to break his fall. He just did what anybody else would do. He tried to break his fall by holding on to a Caucasian woman. And she screamed, right? And they lied on this man. And as she's going to say, they lynched him. Let's think of Emmett Till. Didn't she, a couple years ago, before she died, admitted that that was not true?
Right. That she had lied about
that. She had lied about the whole thing. So don't be fooled by this Edomite up here talking about this, okay? Because at the end of the day, give me Lamentations 2, and I want 15 and 16.
The Book of Lamentations.
They hate us, all of them, and they envy us. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs, envy not the oppressor. Hey.
The Book of Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 15. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem.
Stop. They says they hiss at the daughter of Jerusalem. I didn't send it to you, producer. Hold on. There's a certain definition I want. Hold on. I'm going to send it to you now. Hold on. Talk.
So I was just noticing that she's very, this Edomite lady right here, she's using all this illustration with her hands. It just makes me sick that every time something has to be brought out, they want to put themselves in the limelight and be the experts on all things pertaining to us. At the end of Viola Fletcher's statement, right before we went off of her video, she said something that's related to what I'm saying right now. She said that nobody had ever brought it up, you know, that it's been a forgotten chapter in history. Well, I just want to say that the prophets of the Lord have brought up Black Wall Street. We've been doing this for years. We have gone in depth. We've done the research. We've been bringing it out. We've been relating it to the scriptures. Can I get one scripture real quick?
No. We got it. I want to finish this up. Just finish. You done with it?
I'm done with what I was
saying. Okay, sorry, brother. I just want to finish the time first. Give me the definition of hiss.
And while he's pulling that up, I just the only what I just wanted to say is how The prophecy is that the Most
High... I sent you the link, brother. Use the link that I sent you.
The Most High is sending out the prophets according to his heart. And that's why that is why I'm bringing that out. Jeremiah 3:15 is what I was going to bring out. He's sending prophets according to his heart and his mind. We're the ones that have the proper understanding. We're the ones that are going to put all these historical documents in relevance in these last days.
Scroll down to where it says, what does it mean to hiss at someone? Scroll down. If you use the link that I sent you, you would have it. Okay. It says, if people hiss at someone, such as a performer or person making a speech, they express their disapproval or dislike of that person. All right, so let's go to the scripture. Read 15 again.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 15. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss.
They show their disapproval. Okay, their hatred. Go ahead.
And wag their head.
Wag their head. They're like, shh. Okay, go ahead.
At the daughter of Jerusalem.
Because they know who we are. Not everyone, but they know we're a special people. That movie Get Out proved that. Okay, they wanted to take all the Southern Kingdom mojo, if you will, their spirit. Okay, they wanted to be them. They hiss at us. How do they hiss at us? When they see that another black-on-black crime took place. When they see that 19 million abortions have taken place by our sisters and our brothers, because some of them allowed it. Okay, when they see us dressing with our pants down with our butt crack showing, when they see our sisters dressing like they wearing discreet bedroom wear out on the street, okay, when they see us acting the fool, go ahead,
saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty?
Because we are the perfection of beauty. We just don't know it, a lot of us. But this is what our job is, like the Officer Solomon brought out. Okay? Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart, meaning whose heart? The Bible, the right way, to show you that you are perfection of beauty. It's in capital S, the perfection of beauty.
Right.
Go ahead.
The joy of the whole earth.
The joy of the whole earth. They're saying this is who they are because they understand in the spirit, all right, that the earth is out of course right now. They understand that we're gods.
That the creature is waiting.
Right. They know that the earnest manifestation of the creature are waiting. I'm paraphrasing. Are waiting for us to realize and come back to our perfection of beauty. You blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans who are God's chosen, who are the Israelites that the Bible speaks of. Go ahead.
All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee.
All of them have opened their mouth against you. Don't be fooled by this Edomite up here talking about this. Uh-huh.
They hiss.
Disapproval. Hate. Go ahead.
And gnash their teeth.
They gnash their teeth. They hate it. When they saw Black Wall Street and what we were doing, they gnashed their teeth. They hissed. They were like, no, these Negroes ain't going to build this. Go ahead.
They say, we have swallowed her up.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, this is the day that we looked for. We have seen it.
Every time, every murder, every atrocity that they've committed against our people, this is what they've said. All right? So they enjoy seeing us at a lower state. Don't get it twisted. They enjoy that because they know in the spirit. And even if they don't know exactly, they know something special about these people.
Right.
They could sing. They could dance. They're athletic. They're beautiful. They're comely.
They have morals.
We have morals. That's why they hiss, because they're like, is this Jerusalem? When they see us without morals. All right, so I don't even want to hear anymore. Y'all can post the links in the thing. If anybody wants to see the Edomite talk, I just want y'all, you know, just to bring it out. We're short on time. All right. I do want to leave you with two scriptures. I'm sorry. Get the two that I told you.
Yes, sir. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?
So don't be confused by this Edomite woman telling on her own people. All right? It's the Most High bringing all this stuff out so that the prophets of the Most High God can educate our brothers and sisters and let them recognize that according to the Bible, all right, we have enemies. And we have enemies because of what I just read Lamentations.
We were in Lamentations about
the hissing, about the perfection of beauty. Give me the last scripture. Here's what I want to leave y'all with, brothers and sisters. If nothing else, here's what the road that you need to start taking. Here's where y'all need to put your minds, your spirit, and your bodies in. And if you want to go ahead and change all this evil that has been done to our people.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent, brothers and sisters, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Our help is around the corner, so to speak. All right? All we have to do is be supporting actors. Right? Supporting actors. Repent as Israelite men and women and follow the laws, statutes, and commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'll leave y'all with this.
Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
This is the conclusion of the whole matter, black man, black woman, Hispanic man, Hispanic woman, indigenous man, indigenous woman.
Fear God and keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
For this is the whole duty of man.
And once we do that, because the Most High is not the author of confusion, all right, he changes not, right? Scripture says, we will get our salvation. We will get our redemption. It ain't going to happen by physical altercation. It's going to happen spiritually.
Right.
And the Most High God is going to do it for those that do what we just read in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. I hope you brothers and sisters were edified on today's radio show. And with that, we say shalom and enjoy the Sabbath.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath.
Lego. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low.
Keeping
when
them
the
low.
Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Prepared solid.
Solid.
We got them on lock.
Got them. Lock.
God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen geeks are ready for our whip to crack.
Dang.
They get in that booth.
Hey, I think the.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
That takes you out the spirit, man.
No, I was like thinking, I can't do the whole show like that. It was bothering me.
Oh yeah, that was bothering the hell out of me too, man. Piece of cardboard under there.
Nah, it doesn't look broken. It looks like it came apart.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, it's the thing to close it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look broken at all. It just looks like it goes somewhere.
Yeah. Like
I mean, it goes right there in that area because it's supposed to clip down and latch on.
I mean, you're what's your job title now, man? Bionics?
I'm an apprentice, but on my apartment applications, I just put robotics engineer.
Oh.
Because that's basically what